I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley. Neil, thanks for coming back.
Hey, glad to be here, Tracy.
The first game we have to talk about is the Austin Peay game. They came to Murray on January the 11th. The Racers took care of business and won that game 89-67.
Well, normally, you know, when Austin Peay comes in, and I'll be just honest as can be, you know, you're a little, you wouldn't call it afraid, but you're always concerned when facing a rival. They had been playing well. They were right there with the Racers at the top of the standings in the OVC West. And a funny thing happened. Murray State jumped on them early. Austin Peay really never dug out of any serious hole. Racers took command. They breezed to the 89-67 victory. And, you know, just one of those games when everything went right for the Racers. And for Austin Peay, they didn't get enough stops. They really, I thought they'd improved a lot defensively, but I just didn't see any indication of that. I think a big key in that, they got Chris Horton, their big center, into foul trouble, and that really altered the flow of what they were trying to do defensively.
Then 5 days later, on January 16th, the Racers traveled to Charleston, Illinois, took out the Panthers of Eastern Illinois 70-66.
Yeah, that was not the best of games. The Racers didn't play well in the first half. It actually looked reminiscent of last year up there when the Racers went up. And this was with Cannon, Daniel, and crew, and lost. That was the second leg of the two-game trip that past year. It flip-flopped this season. But they're down 8 at halftime. But in the second half, the Racers were able to it took about 10 minutes, actually, but muster enough to take the lead. And Cameron Payne, I think he had 2 points in the first half, had 19 in the second half. Racers made free throws at an astounding rate. Cameron Payne hits a big three to push the lead up to 6 in the closing couple of minutes, and that iced it. You know, probably 10 minutes of good basketball out of 40, but that was good enough to win the game.
They continued their Illinois road trip in Edwardsville on January 18th and lost to SIU Edwardsville 67-60. And how surprising was this loss, Neil?
Well, they had already beaten Austin Peay at their place. They'd already beaten Eastern Kentucky at their place. So we knew that when they're playing in their building, they're really good. And this was no exception. And they shot the ball well. They hit 50% exactly from the field, exactly 50% from three-point range. And I think anyone knows that if you're a college basketball team and you're playing in someone else's gym, that you let them shoot like that, you're probably not going to win, especially as poorly as the Racers shot it. And they were across the board bad. They were terrible from the field goal range, terrible from three range. Free throws didn't go in. They were out-rebounded. Just one of those you chalk up, you know, this was a bad day. However, they left 5-1. And, you know, when you figure out a young team, what they'd lost, you lose Zay Jackson, Eric McCree decides not to come back, and you end up 5-1 out of the gate and in first place. I don't think there was many teams in the league feeling too sorry for us when we left there.
And then yesterday, a game that for various circumstances ended up being played at 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. It was a whiteout game as the Racers hosted Tennessee Tech, Neil. And with the strange circumstances, with the start time, with uncertainties about, I guess, the crowd that would be in attendance, I kind of got the thought that maybe something squirrely could happen, but that did not happen as the Racers just pasted Tech 92-53.
Yeah, last year in Cookeville, we played a game that I've done games for over 20 years for the Racers, and it's the worst game I've ever called, ever, hands down. Usually one team will play bad, not two. Last year in Cookeville, the Racers turned it over 25 times, shot 34% from the field, and they won with 47 points. Yesterday, with just under 2 minutes to go in the first half, they scored their 48th point. So you would have thought with the crazy circumstances, if you transpose last year's statistics to this one, you thought, well, you know, each team was kind of battling it, and you figured you might see something like that. Instead, the Racers were fabulous. In fact, we were joking with Coach Prohm. He might want to move all the weekday games to 3 p.m. if they continued to shoot like that. And he joked, yeah, we might look into that, something along that line. But Jeffrey Moss was just absolutely incredible. His dad was there watching him. He made his first 8 shots. He hit 4 straight threes. Unstoppable. And I think the 9th shot he took, he'd just been in there so long, was due a rest, and we asked him after the game. He said his legs were gone. He just needed a rest and couldn't get the ball up to the basket. Heck, who knows, he might have hit his 9th, but he ends it with a career-high 31 points, which, by the way, is his number. I made 7 three-pointers, and it was fabulous. Jarvis Williams, who I thought had a really bad road trip last week, really redeemed himself this week, yesterday anyway, with 12 points and 15 rebounds. And Jonathan Farrell, a guy that we thought might take a while to come along. Now, he's still bricking him from the free throw line, but he had 10 rebounds. In an OVC play, he's averaging over 9 rebounds per game, Tracy.
And now tomorrow night, the Racers are going to host Jacksonville State. What do we know about Jacksonville State, and what do you expect to happen in that game?
Well, they defeated Austin Peay Thursday night, so they're coming in off a road win. And when you play these kind of trips, you split, you're fine. But they have a chance to sweep it, and this would be good for them. They, of course, are in the OVC East. That place is a logjam at the top with Belmont, Eastern Kentucky. So to stay in the hunt, they're going to have to pick up a win, and who knows, they might just be able to do that. They had never ever beaten the Racers until last year when they beat them in Jacksonville. So now they at least know they can do it. They have a kid named Brian Williams, 25 points, a career high against Austin Peay last night. And the thing they do, they play the slower pace. You know, if the Racers scored 90 on them, it would be a miracle. But they're going to want the game somewhere in the 60s. They want to win it, you know, 68-64, something along that line. And that's what they're going to try to do, slow the pace down. It's a grind-it-out type of team. Usually games against Jacksonville State aren't as enjoyable, but that's what they have to do to try to win games. So that's what you can expect to see out of them. Now, they have some guys that can score. They don't have the one go-to guy, but they have four or five guys capable of 12, 15 points on a given night, stingy defensively. And the Racers, the thing they have to learn is it's a young team. They can't rest on the laurels of what they did Thursday because it doesn't mean anything when they tip it off Saturday night.
The Racers will close out January with a rematch against Austin Peay. Is there any reason to believe that things will change much just because the game's in Clarksville?
Yeah, they're usually really good there, and they're scuffling right now, though. They even lost, you know, at home to Jacksonville State. The thing that the Racers have, though, they get almost a full week to prepare. They don't play again until Friday once they play Saturday night's game. And Austin Peay does play once in between. But for the Governors, it's must-win territory for them right now. And, you know, they lose that one. They're done. They're not going to be the top seed from the West, or one of the two top seeds. You know, if you win the West, you get one of the two top seeds. You get that double bye. So that would knock them out of the picture. So they're in a desperate mode. They need to probably pretty much win from here on out, can ill afford any loss, and they must beat Murray State. They don't want to be in a spot where if they tie the Racers, they lose the tiebreaker. Conversely, the Racers want to win that one. First of all, keep the momentum going. And secondly, if they do get into some sort of a tiebreaker scenario with Austin Peay, they've got it taken care of with the two wins over them. They're dangerous at home, and that's the one game where their fans really turn out. The student section is usually right behind us. They're very into it for that game, and it makes it a very difficult environment to win a game.
And finally, I guess it's still the most anticipated game of the year in the OVC, the Racers on February 6th, will travel to Nashville and take on Belmont in a game that will be seen on ESPNU.
Yeah, Belmont has shown some vulnerability, but then they've also shown some greatness. You know, go to North Carolina and get a win there. They're really great if you are chasing them on defense and they can get those open threes. Something, if Kentucky fans watched them when they played against Belmont, early on they fell into that trap when a guy drove into the lane. They collapsed to stop him, left the corners open, but adjusted a few minutes later and were able to get things under control and pull out the win. But that's when Belmont's at their best. You start chasing them defensively, they get open looks, they make them.
The voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, thanks for dropping by.
Glad to be here.